Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. I'm with you on this second day of the year. We got a brand new year, a brand new opportunity to turn things around. Hope you had a great New Year's celebration with your friends. Even more, remembering the fact that we are in Christmas and continuing to live that life, that incarnation that changed the world so many years ago and hopefully is changing the world through your life. Well, you know, a lot of people are not back to work right now. In fact, they're probably out shopping and running around and exchanging gifts still and all that type of thing. But I want to redirect your thoughts today to something that hopefully will bear fruit for this new year of 2015. And that is what I would call new beginnings. You know, every year people make the big New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I mean, you can name them as well as I can. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to get that. That membership at the club so I can lose the weight this year. I'm going to do the no carb diet this year. That's what this year is going to be all about. There's going to be no more carbs, no more sugars in my life. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to watch less television. I'm going to read more. I'm going to go to Mass more often. You know what? This year, I'm going to read through the Bible. I mean, there's all kinds of resolutions that we make for the year. But if you are like everybody else, you find out after a few weeks or so that that simple resolution that you made at the beginning of the year was not enough to take you through the rest of the year. And I think one of the reasons is that we don't have a goal that's big enough to keep us on course. It seems like a good idea to lose weight this year, but why? I mean, why do you want to lose weight? Well, you know, I want to get back into those old clothes or whatever it might be. But if there's a better reason to lose weight, if there's a higher calling to getting into shape, maybe you might stay on course. Well, we want to talk about the new beginnings in our life, and I want to encourage you to think about a new beginning this year that is going to last into eternity, throughout all of eternity. And joining me on the show coming up after the break here is Father Duffner. And Father Duffner, known to many of you in the Twin Cities, is the pastor at Church of the Epiphany over in Coon Rapids. And many of you over in the St. Louis Park area have been very familiar with him for years at Holy Family. And we're going to talk together today about new beginnings. And if you're looking for a new beginning in your life, an opportunity to start over, I encourage you to stay tuned. And I also encourage you to call up your friends and have them listen also, because what we're going to talk about today might not just affect this year of 2015, but it might affect your eternity. And eternity is a long, long time, especially as you get towards the end. It just keeps on going, as George Carlin once said. So we're going to talk about that. You know, every day, every single day, we have an opportunity for a new beginning every year, even the liturgical year as we began Advent. Some time ago, we get an opportunity for a new beginning. We're going to talk about confession today, too, as a new beginning in your life. So stay tuned with us. This is the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Rediscover.
This is Caroline Becker for Becker Building and Remodeling. When I was a little girl, the kitchen was always the center of our home. I'm not sure if yours is the same, or if it's just how my dad designs kitchens, but ours was practical, functional, and a welcoming open space for nurturing relationships and building memories. Our kitchen fit our family. It was where my sisters and I hung out after school, where we sat down to dinner each night as a family. And now that we're all older, we inevitably gather there when we all come home. Our kitchen was for preparing food, sure, but it was also home. It was and is where you can always find family. My dad at Becker Building and Remodeling can do your kitchen. Call him at 612-363-0493. Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned business you can trust.
I think of Paul and Silas in the prison yard. I hear their song of freedom rising to the stars. And when I say,
welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, day two of 2015. How's it going so far, huh? Have you kept that New Year's resolution? Do you know where you're going to go this year? Do you have goals for this year? I do. I've been thinking about them. I know some things I want to do a little bit differently this year. Here's the problem, though. It's kind of like watching Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. You can have all kinds of good ideas, but you don't have that apostolic engine, the power to carry you through to fulfill those resolutions. But I got news for you today. You do. The Holy Spirit, the Eucharist, the sacraments, the power of God can help you become that person that you feel God really wants you to become this year. Joining me today on the Rediscover Hour is Father Duffner. Many of you know him. He's been around the Twin Cities for a while now, and one of our great priests. He's the pastor at Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and he's had kind of a new beginning in the last couple of years over there. Father, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here with you.
It's great to have you. And we're talking about new beginnings, and there's something about January 1st that it's like a clean slate of paper, and people have a pen in their hand, and they're like, okay, who do I want to become this year? You know, what do I want to become this year? Where do I want to go, and what do I want to accomplish? And as a priest, you must hear this a lot from people of, you know, I really want to do this now, and this seems to be the quote-unquote magical day of the year to do it.
It's a special time, and I think a lot of people are wondering, with what will this year bring? What will it... But I think that they have to take a little bit more initiative rather than simply waiting passively to see what the year brings. I love to see people really chop down and with some initiative decide, where will I go? What will I do? And for many people, it starts off with those human things. Let's just say, I got to lose some weight, or I want to do something this year. And I strongly encourage that. I think those are noble goals. They're not the ultimate goal, but they're a noble goal.
Right, right. Well, I know that a lot of people have gone down that road, and they say, well, I've tried losing the weight, you know, in the New Year's, and that's fine. And I mean, you can lose weight at any time during the year, but this seems to be an opportunity for a new beginning spiritually for people to try to change some internal things in their life, some relationships, developing virtue. So often I talk to people who they're disgusted with themselves for the way they treat their wife, or the way that they snap at the kids, you know, and they're thinking, man, I want to change. And maybe this can be an opportunity, and we're going to talk about that this hour, of, you know, how does change take place in our life in these new beginnings. And I want to talk a little bit later on about confession. But you've had a big new beginning in your life just in the last year or so.
Oh, yeah. It was a couple of years now, and I've been at the Church of the Epiphany, which really called on me to stretch myself out and stretch my wings and bring everything that I've learned over the years and apply it to a large parish and do what I can to, if you will, make disciples.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about change a little bit. We, you know, as we look into the Bible, I'm reminded of that Old Testament story. Let me kind of paint the picture here. You've got the Old Testament story that involves the prophet Hosea. And Hosea is one of those great prophets that really speaks to the northern kingdom of Israel. And the northern kingdom of Israel is really going through tough times. And they are worshiping other gods, and they are involved in idolatry. And I mean, let's just put it the way it is, and the way the Bible puts it, they're committing adultery with other gods, and they've created these pagan high places, and they're associating with sacred prostitutes and sanctuaries and so forth. And in the middle of it, Hosea comes in with a message of change and a new beginning, and he calls Israel to repent from the things that they have been doing. We'll say, for the sake of our conversation, the things they were doing in 2014.
Right. It's fascinating because he starts off with the whole notion of love.
Yeah.
And everybody loves and wants to be loved. Mm-hmm. And of course, the story about Israel and Hosea is that God tells Hosea to go and marry a harlot.
Gomer.
Yeah. And so he does, and they're happy for a while. And then she goes back to her former lovers, and he's crushed.
Yes, he is. And he knows what it feels like now.
He's hurting. Uh-huh. And instead of dumping her and saying, I'm going to find somebody who will love me and take care of me and I can take care of her, he spends the rest of his life to win her back to fidelity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the story is not just is not just Hosea and Gomer. It's God and Israel.
Yep.
And it's a vertical marriage that takes place between God and Israel, Hosea and his wife. And at one point, Hosea says, I will lead her back into the desert where I once espoused her. And the words come from Hosea's lips, but it's actually God speaking, mm-hmm. because he espoused Israel in the desert. Mm-hmm. So there's this renewal, this starting over, this new hope, this recovery of a love once lost. And that was the hope for Hosea and of all of Israel.
And you put that into today's perspective, Father, and it really sings, doesn't it? Where you look back at 2013 and 14 and maybe some of the things that we've been involved in, and idolatry and the sin, and God is not happy with that sin, but yet he extends hope to us and says, you know what? You're in the desert because of your sin, but I am not going to forget you. I am your husband, and I will come after you in the desert, and I will give you the refreshing water. And I'm thinking that this new year of 2015 can be a year where people experience that what you spoke about, and that is God's faithfulness in the midst of our unfaithfulness to bring us back to fidelity this year.
I think so, too. I think that if you look at the whole culture, you see the broader spectrum of problems, and then you realize that even the breadth of the culture's guilt is weighing down upon us, and then we ourselves have entered in on some level and need to deeply repent. And it's as if we have to go back to the Lord again and readdress him, make amends to him, reconnect with him, seek his face.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think God is calling us to do. You're listening to Father Duffner and myself. I'm Jeff Cavins. We're talking about new beginnings today, the second day of the new year. In the context, Father, of Hosea, I love what Hosea says in chapter 10 and verse 12. He kind of gives the secret to turning this ship around. 2014 might not have been a good year. God isn't going to forsake you. He wants you to walk in holiness. He wants you to walk in faithfulness. And so Hosea says in chapter 10 and verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness. Now think about it for a moment. What did you sow back in 2014? In 2015, sow righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is a time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you.
Outstanding. It's a new beginning. It's a time to start all over again now and to sow righteousness. In other words, we're not just talking about making money this year.
Mm-mm.
We're talking about the spiritual realm of virtue, of love, and of relationship with the Lord our God.
When we talk about change, Father, and I mean, you've been a priest. How many years have you been a priest now?
31 now.
31 years. And I've been married 36, both of us, both Emily and I. And so that's a long time. Certainly you hear constantly, and I know you can't divulge anything from the confessional, but you hear constantly about people coming to you with problems, sure, but they don't just want the problem to go away. They want to do something about it. And you don't have like a little wand or some dust that you throw on people that makes all that happen,
no,
do you?
No.
I mean, there's work and there's rolling up of the sleeves involved here.
Sometimes when people bring troubles, they're layers deep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dealing with a surface which has brought them pain at this moment. But you have to look way down deep underneath and say, so what's the real deal? What's the thing that's really holding me back? And that's the place where we have to put our finger on it and address that tough spot. For many people, those are moral issues, just as they were in the life of Hosea and in the life of Israel. They're the tough issues which actually have brought them disappointment, sadness, clouds, bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things where we have to do some serious work.
Mm-hmm. The world promises so many things, you know, and advertises that this is the way to be happy and this is the way that you're going to be filled with joy. But when we indulge in the way that the world suggests, so often it ends in tragedy and disappointment and a desert experience. It's almost like a cruel joke that lures you into the desert and then leaves you there empty.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of sin. Sin is like a trap, isn't it? It's a trap is, first of all, a trap doesn't look like a trap, does it? I mean, you don't walk into a trap and say, well, that looks like a trap, but I'm going to find out. And a trap, second of all, is stronger than the one it's intended for. And
right.
So when you find yourself trapped in bad habits, you find yourself trapped in a way of responding to difficulties that is less than virtuous, you're trapped and you need help getting out of it. One of the things that I appreciate about Hosea's message to Israel, who definitely needs to change and needs a new year, is he said, break up your unplowed ground. Or one translation says, the fallow ground. And the fallow ground or the unplowed ground is kind of like, I mean, we've all seen it, those fields after the harvest and months later, it's like a crust on top of the ground. No seed can grow.
Right.
No change can take place. Someone's got to break that up so that the seed has good soil to plant and germinate and grow and sprout and become fruitful. So let's talk about that a little bit, about that unplowed ground, and how do we as Catholics break up the unplowed ground of 2014 to begin to start new habits, hopefully of virtue?
One suggestion I would bring is we have to pray, and we have to find a space to pray. We have to find a quiet place to pray. And our society really takes away all those opportunities for any silence. I think we're bombarded with media. We've got our cell phone, our smartphone, our email, our texting, our Twitter, and everything else. And you find that if you just stop a moment and see how many times in an hour do you pick up your smartphone and touch it and check it and look at it. And all of these things being constantly clued in takes away the opportunity of silence, self-reflection, and then reflection and contact with God.
Mm-hmm. It is a problem. It's a problem that I think all of us have to battle, and that is checking our cell phone, checking our email, text messaging people, staying in constant contact with everybody else except God.
Well, the risk is we live life on the surface, and then we're really controlled by the messages that are bombarding us constantly, and they tend to not be good messages. We don't have time to go back down deep into our heart and say, so how does this fit with my relationship to Christ? How does it connect to my best self?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to take some silence. I think that one of the things we have to create is a space of some silence in order to be with the Lord our God.
Any suggestions? Practical suggestions? You're talking about a space in the home. You're talking about a time at the church.
Good. Okay. Here's what I recommend for people. We need you to pray. God wants you to pray. You need to be with Him. Morning works best for most people just because it's before you've read the paper, seen the news, turned on the computer, whatever it might be. So it actually starts with going to bed the night before. You have to have a good night's sleep or you won't. If you need 8 hours sleep and you know you have to be up at 6, you got to go to bed at 10. You'll be amazed. You can actually feel good in the morning.
Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is actually a huge problem in America. This last year of 2014, my wife and I were watching a couple of shows. One was called Sleepless in America, and it was talking about what you're saying there, and that if you need 8 hours of sleep and you're constantly getting 5.5 hours of sleep, you can't think the same. You cannot reason the same as you could with the amount of sleep that God intended you to get. And I would also say that you probably cannot develop that life of virtue as well as you could if you were rested and you took care of yourself.
I think it would be very hard to be patient with other people, kindly towards them, sensitive to them, seeing what they're understanding what they're thinking and feeling in order to respond to them with love, because your own needs are hardly met. Your own physical needs are, you're in pain. There's that stabbing pain behind the eyes that said you needed more sleep. Mm-hmm. So the very possibility of prayer evaporates because we didn't sleep well.
Well, let's look closer, Father, at what I guess I would call the DNA of change in a Christian's life. We're going to talk about confession after the break in just a little bit. But when you look at the DNA of change, what are some of the major factors that we need to keep in mind when we say, okay, let's take for example, I am impatient. I get angry easy, you know? I'm not saying I do. Now, don't ask my wife, please. But I'll say I get angry very easy. I fly off the handle. I go to Mass. I read my Bible. I listen to Relevant Radio. I listen to Father Duffner at Mass. But I just, you know what? I'm Irish. I can't seem to check this. What would you tell someone about changing from being angry so easily to a person who is kind and doesn't fly off the handle? What's the DNA of change here? How do we go about that?
Well, in my life, I think it has to go back into the prayer first, mm-hmm. so that I begin to realize who it is that I have offended by my sins, and that how much Jesus loves me, and that I have offended one who loves me this much. Therefore, my sin is not only an offense, but it's an ingratitude. And as soon as the relationship with Christ becomes real and personal, then I can begin to see how my sins have affected others. And it's not just changing a behavior, but a way of relating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to get into the relationship side before it can really make progress.
You're talking about relating with Christ?
Relating with Christ, and to see Christ in others then,
mm-hmm.
to realize how harmful my words might be towards another, that I might be actually offending Christ in another person.
So you're saying, in a sense, almost like step one is, hello, Jeff, open your eyes and see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
You're affecting people.
Yeah.
It's changing people.
And yet the idea is that if it's first Jesus, because I've been to prayer with him, I've been one with him. And you know, in prayer, there are times when it seems as though God hides himself.
Mm-hmm.
And other times when he's immediately there. He's there all the time. But there's times when he intends that we be, if you will, struggling a little bit more. Times when he wants to reward us. There's also times when we go there and there's an obstacle. We put it there, and our anger, our outburst, our offense against someone else has put distance between us and the Lord. And it's as if in order to find him, we have to begin to make some changes. So there's this two-way relationship. In the same way that we talked about God and Israel, Hosea and his wife, so too in our relationship with Christ in deep prayer, it is affected by how we deal with everyone else. So these two loves, of course, there really is only one virtue of charity. They affect one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So number one, we look at what's happening in our life and how it's affecting other people. And so I come to the Lord at that point and say, Lord, okay, I see that this is devastating to my wife and my kids. I see that, you know, how it's affecting the people I work with, and what do I do now? Where do I take this?
Well, obviously the first part is back to the Lord, but the second is to say, now what? Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? And the first thing was probably to stop giving offense.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's to bite your tongue. It's to say nothing when the first reaction is to curse.
Yeah.
Or the first reaction is to criticize or to be negative. And maybe the first reaction has to be to listen or just to stop.
Sure. Well, we call these things vices. And there's a number of vices that we struggle with. And the church teaches us that we can fight vice with virtue, but virtue is a habit, you know, the habit of doing good, and where we literally, in fact, I talked to a priest not too long ago. It was a very interesting conversation, where he was studying what he called neurotheology, which was basically that when you do the good and you act like Christ and you imitate Christ, it literally changes the brain, the synapses in the brain, where it actually becomes easier to be kind after 20 years of being kind. It's almost like muscle memory in a way of I've tried to be kind so much in my life to people that now it's really become a part of me.
I like that.
And that's a virtue, you know, that we can develop. And some people even say that it takes, what, 30 days to develop a habit. Do you recommend, Father, that people focus on particular vices and things that they want to change in their life, one at a time, to go after that?
Or? Oh, yes. Yeah, I would always start with one. Pick your worst vice,
mm-hmm.
whatever that would be, and that's the one you work on. You cannot make progress against 10 vices all at once. You take your worst one and work on that. And mm-hmm. that becomes the daily occupation, the kind of the background thing going through your mind all day long. What will I do or not do in order to develop this virtue? And I think people have energy. We have something we want to do, accomplish, something say. And when people, especially people who are verbally agile, sometimes can be critical, sometimes can be hostile or angry or whatever, I think it's important that they use that energy for good. For instance, one of the things you can do when a whole group of people are criticizing someone, you say one good thing, one nice thing about that person, and you break the spirit of criticism. You allow yourself the freedom to say something because you have this intensity, you need to get it out, but you're going to make it positive. And saying one nice thing, you can break the whole spirit of criticism and the tearing down of another human being. And so I think there's this active, positive energy that we can bring, and it takes the form of virtue.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Father Duffner from Epiphany, we're talking here on the second day of the year. If you're listening on the second day of the year, if you're listening a bit later, it's the third, fourth, or fifth day of the year. But we're talking about bringing change to our life in 2015. And Father, as you mentioned, it first of all starts with a clear recognition, and you've got to go to the Lord. And the big one is confession, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But bringing change into your life is not something you can do alone, is it? It's something that takes the body of Christ, the sacraments, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services has proudly served the Twin Cities area for five generations. No matter which of the 16 locations you choose, you will always find an exceptional level of professionalism and care to a tribute of life. Washburn McCreevy's traditional approach to these tributes will allow survivors to love, laugh, and live well again, even after their loss. Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with the time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. You live your life to the fullest, knowing your wishes will be honored. Washburn McCreevy even has a pre-planning checklist or online form so that you can start the process with the ultimate privacy. Have one sent to you free by calling 612-377-7841. The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels, Cemeteries, and Cremation Services continues to present the Daily Mass evenings on Relevant Radio, 612-377-7841.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and joining me is Father Duffner from Epiphany in Coon Rapids. We're talking about change for the new year, and I know you want to change. I know that there's things in your spiritual life that you would like to see change, things in your family, things at the natural level, maybe your weight or whatever it might be. And I think that desire for change is something that God has put in your heart. In that there is this goal to change towards something, to become someone. And the world will give you all kinds of targets to hit. They really will. But you know what? Deep down inside, I think God has put that desire and that hope for something better, something different. As Jeremiah said in chapter 29 in verse 11, he says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Father Duffner, let's talk about hope a little bit.
I love that. It's one of the most powerful, compelling, moving virtues. Hope. There's eternal hope, obviously. Hope that I can be with Christ forever and all my friends and all my loved ones. Eternal hope. But there are many, many hopes that are in this world and they're good, that we can find a spouse for those who are single and still longing for that fulfillment, for those that might want to find a job, for those that simply are trying to find themselves. There's a hope which is so fulfilling when it actually is attained that it is just a simple joy.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the kinds of hopes that you think people have out there?
Well, I know that there's a lot of young folks today who are feeling somehow paralyzed. Maybe it's by debt, maybe it's by some other difficulties in their lives. And one of the things that I always love to see is from a book that's always been a favorite of mine, Wild at Heart.
That's a good one.
And the very notion that, for instance, a man needs three things, that he needs a battle to fight, a woman to rescue, and an adventure to live. And I find that so many men have lost the adventure. Mm-hmm. And God wants that adventure for them, wants their fulfillment, wants their happiness. And when they begin to look at some of these great things that they might attain that would bring nothing but joy, God is pleased with that.
Yeah.
And they find their own manhood standing tall, hopes fulfilled.
That hope is so strong. You know, I go to Israel quite a bit, and the national anthem of Israel is called the HaTikvah. Tikvah is hope in Hebrew, and that's their national anthem. And I think about that scripture that says that hope is an anchor for the soul. It's an anchor for the soul. It keeps us in place, but having the right hopes. And hopes that are really rooted in a relationship with God are so important.
That's so key. If we have that hope and that relationship with God, then all the other hopes line up. All the other relationships begin to line up. And when we follow the path of virtue, we align ourselves with God's providence, and He begins to fulfill those hopes, often through the people and the circumstances around us.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for those that alignment with God, it's as if we've stepped out of His providence and remove from ourselves the very possibility of fulfillment.
Let's get back to the theme of a new beginning, the theme of starting over, another opportunity. You know, so often we get down on ourselves, and maybe we have a particular sin. 2013, 14. All of our listeners could give you their list. And there's a particular sin or sins that just seem to haunt us. They defeat us over and over and over. And I think back about Judah in the Old Testament when they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. At the end of that 70-year period, there were three waves of return. There was Zerubbabel, who rebuilt the temple. There was the coming back and the teaching of the Word of God, and there was Nehemiah, who built the walls around Jerusalem. And I think about those three things as return and restoration. And in today's language, we could say that a life can be resurrected, a life can be rebuilt, a marriage can be put back together, hope can be restored, using those three things. And when you look at, and we'll compare them to the church today, when you look at, and I'd love for you to comment on it, when you look at the rebuilding of the temple, that's the sacraments. That's the Eucharist and the sacraments and the worship, the liturgy. When you look at the teaching of the law, that's the Word of God. And when you look at Nehemiah rebuilding the walls, you know, an ancient city wasn't considered a city until it had walls. And that's the family of God. That's the church. That's the communion of saints. And so these three things seem to be very critical in a new beginning and restoration. That is the sacramental life of the church, the Word of God, and the community of the faithful. With that as a background, kind of teach us a little bit about the importance of some of these things.
Well, I love the image of the rebuilding, because it says in the scriptures that they would have to rebuild with one hand and hold the sword in the other.
Mm-hmm.
They had to rebuild and yet fight off their enemies all the while.
It's like you hunting with a gun in one hand and a rosary in the other.
And was successful, I might add. But yes, so there's this whole question of the rebuilding. One of the things so important is to surround ourselves with good friends. Mm-hmm. We need to
find— Those are the walls.
Those are the walls. We have to find good friends, associate with good friends. One of the things we're doing up at Epiphany is developing a young adults group. And these are young married folks, and we're providing the free babysitting for them so that when they gather together, there can be a little bit of instruction. Free babysitting, which is always an attractive thing because an awful lot of money goes into babysitting nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to make good friends, faithful friends, supportive friends, friends who will hold them up, hold them in prayer, whom they can call, friends who will encourage them to be faithful and steadfast, friends who will be a sturdy shelter.
You know, I've actually studied that topic of friends and thought about it quite a bit. And one of the conclusions I've come to is that you're not going to become super duper, which is a Greek word for a lot, super duper friends. We're not going to become super duper friends with a lot of people, but to choose a few people that you can invest in in the relationship.
Right.
And even the medical studies show that people who have meaningful friendships, meaningful relationships, are healthier and live longer.
And we need them.
Mm-hmm.
We need other people. There's no way that we can simply live on our own. And we need to be affirmed by them, supported, encouraged, built up, and we need to do the same for them.
So part of change in our lives does involve other people. It's not a solitary sport, change. And I'm sure that you've said to many people as they've gone to confession or have talked to you about change, and I know that, for example, Alcoholics Anonymous says that don't try to do all of this on your own. God puts you in the middle of a community. Reach out to your friends and really build those relationships, because that can be an important part of the change in your life.
That's why one of the things we like to invite people into is, well, let's say Bible study or a study of their own faith. Young adults group, so that they can meet other people who share the same values and hold one another up.
Mm-hmm. And the second aspect of this change that Judah underwent when they came back out of captivity from Babylon was the Word of God. The Word of God was their instructional manual. It was their direction, their counsel. And they could not experience a true restoration, or as in the context here, they could not really experience a renewed or new 2015 without the Word of God in their life.
They discovered and rediscovered that there was power. They rediscovered the book of Deuteronomy. They saw in it all of the blessings and all of the curses. They realized what had happened to them, why it had happened to them, that they needed God. They needed God's Word. They needed His ways. And they began to conform themselves to God's ways. Because in God's Word, His Word isn't just something which is audible, not just something which is on print. His words are deeds.
Mm-hmm.
His Word is effective. And when we bring that Word into our lives, it changes us, empowers us. And we need God's Word, and we conform ourselves to that Word.
Mm-hmm. This is good stuff. Yeah, if you're writing this down, don't write when you're driving. You might want to pull over and write this stuff down, but this is good. Or you can go back on Relevant Radio's website and re-listen to the show. So we've got the community, which I would say extends also to the communion of saints, that people who want to see change in their life can call on the saints to pray for them.
Oh, some of my favorites, St. Teresa the Little Flower and Padre Pio,
mm-hmm.
they've been very good to me. And over the years, I've brought so many intentions to those saints. And God chooses to honor and glorify those saints in heaven by granting their requests.
And then second of all, the Word of God. And if you're looking for change in your life, you can go down to Barnes & Noble if you want and just buy some book or get Dr. Phil's book, I suppose. But it's not going to be the same as the Bible. Why is the Bible different than Dr. Phil or anything that Oprah suggests on her show, Father?
One of the first things about that is the Bible puts us in touch with God's wisdom, which is different than a human wisdom. And when God suggests to us to do certain things, He also empowers us to carry them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, powerful. But now the big one. The sacraments. The part of the restoration of Judah was not only the walls with Nehemiah, not only the scriptures, but Zerubbabel came back and he rebuilt the temple. And this for us would stand for the liturgy, for the sacraments. And we want to talk about that, because when it comes to change, I remember what the prophet said. He said, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord, that change is going to take place. And that doesn't happen with just the want to, does it?
No. The sacraments are sources of immense power. And the reason is because they are both human and divine. Just as Jesus Christ is the God-man, entered into our world, God made flesh. And again, that happening 9 months before Christmas. God entered into our world. Therefore, no other religious leader is his equal. No other name is given us by which we can be saved than the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this God-man walking among us, saving us from our sins, instructing us, empowering us, left these mysterious signs, these sacraments, which again meet all of our human needs in a visible way and elevate it to the supernatural. So we find baptism. Each of us needs to be washed, but this sacrament is elevated to the level of spiritual cleansing, washing away sins. We need to be fed, and God raises this in the Eucharist to feeding on his own body and blood, not just to feed us with calories, if you will, but to divinize us, sanctify us, and transform us into him. Each of the sacraments taking this powerful way, this human way, together with divine grace in order to sanctify and change us.
Marriage.
Marriage, again, because each of the spouses has put on the Lord Jesus Christ by baptism. Now the giving and the receiving is that of Christ and his bride, the church. Mm-hmm. And it is empowered to bring about great, to bring about enormous changes and sanctify, to make the home into the domestic church.
You know, speaking about that, sometimes we joke about it in marriage. Oh, my wife was nagging about this, or my wife was telling me that I should stop doing this or that. But when you look at marriage as an encounter with Christ, a sacrament, as an encounter with Christ, what if you see marriage correctly, that tap on the shoulder, that meal that served you, that advice on how to become more holy, you need to go spend a holy hour. This very well could be an encounter with Christ trying to help you to become more like him, not just a wife giving you a bunch of advice.
Absolutely. There's power in this where God speaks in and through that spouse, calling us to what is best, what is noble, what is good, and what is true.
What a beautiful way to look at marriage for 2015, to hear Christ in your spouse and to know that you are loved and that and God is guiding you. What about holy orders? You see, that's holy orders is one of those sacraments where I can go and watch a commercial now because that doesn't have anything to do with me, right?
Whoa. This holy orders, that's a powerful sacrament whereby Christ configures a man to act in his very person, to speak in his words, to speak in his name, and so that when the priest says, "This is my body," actually the bread becomes the body of Christ, and he's acting in his person. When the priest absolves sins, "I absolve you from your sins," they are actually taken away by the power of Christ acting in and through the minister, the priest, in order to wipe them away, just as he promised in John's gospel, when on the night of the resurrection, he empowered the apostles, breathing on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." He gave the divine power to forgive sins to mere men acting under holy orders mm-hmm. as representatives in the church.
And I'm affected by that. If I go to Mass, if I go to confession, this sacrament allows me to confront Christ,
yes,
and to have a relationship with Christ. You know, I was confirmed. It was just a few weeks ago. I went back to visit St. Edward's in Bloomington, which is a church that Father, then now Bishop Dudley, started, named it after his own father, mm-hmm. Edward, St. Edward's. And I remember back in 1971, I sat in the fourth row on the right, and I was confirmed, and I was very nervous because they told us we'd have to recite something. The bishop might ask us a question or something like that. I got a picture of that in my book of that day in 1971. Okay, now that was a long time ago, and that was a sacrament, a one-time deal for me. How does that help me now in change in my life? Confirmation.
That sacrament empowers us. It's as if the Holy Spirit puts sails into our soul so that when the breath of the Spirit would come, we would be moved under his influence. You know, if you had a sailboat out there on the ocean and no sails were up, there would be the wind could blow all at once. You're not going to move much. But raise those sails, and all of a sudden, with the wind comes great movement. Mm-hmm. So too, the Holy Spirit bestows on us through this sacrament these gifts, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fear of the Lord, so that when the breath of the Spirit blows, we become moved, capable of things humanly impossible. You see, the virtues operate under the human norms, and so we find that courage stands halfway between being foolhardy on the one side and cowardly on the other.
Mm-hmm.
But the norm of the gifts is divine. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit empower us to do what is humanly impossible by God's own strength.
One of the beautiful thoughts, you know, as you read Scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it talks about how God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we were different yesterday. And we are who we are today, and we hopefully will be different tomorrow. And it's kind of interesting to think, isn't it, that we who are so changing are changed by the one who doesn't change.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And he builds us up into his own likeness.
Yeah.
Made already in his likeness, he sanctifies.
That's what you meant by divinization, right?
Yes.
It's to become like him. I mean, you're not going to become God.
No, no.
But you're going to become like
God. We become sharers in the divine nature by grace.
Uh-huh.
And this actually sanctifies us. That's why the scripture says you are God's. Not that we become co-creators.
Boy, if, you know, folks, I can't tell you how exciting this topic can be to think about this, that 2015 can be a year where you change. And I want to encourage you. We're going to take a break in a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big one, confession, and how confession plays into a changed life. But I want to extend this hope to you right now. Maybe last year was a disappointment. Maybe 2013 was a disappointment. But you know what? I love what Matthew says, what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34. He said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. He said, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Focus right now on what's happening today. Forget about yesterday to some degree. Like Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he said, brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You and I, with Father Duffner, all of the people in Relevant Radio, let's look to 2015 as a year of change. You can do it, but not alone. You need the body of Christ, the walls of Nehemiah. You need the Word of God. You need that teaching. And you need the grace of God, which is an encounter with Christ in the sacraments. When we return, we'll talk about confession. This is where life is really going to change. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Gianna Homes in the Twin Cities has transformed the traditional memory care residence into a more positive life experience, and they now have two locations. You'll feel something very special from the moment you walk through the door.
I'm Anne Marie Hansen of Gianna Homes. We are passionate about providing our memory care patients a place where they can thrive. I invite you to tour one or both of our locations. We would also invite you to inquire how your contribution to Gianna Homes could help support our mission of treating mind, body, and spirit. You can call me directly at 952-988-0953.
Call 952-988-0953. Gianna Homes lovingly cares for the mind, body, and spirit of their dementia and Alzheimer's patients. For details on how they can care for your loved one, call 952-988-0953 or relevantradio.com, keyword caring.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, joined by my guest today and friend, Father Duffner from Epiphany in Coon Rapids, where, by the way, a lot of great things are happening. In fact, I want to draw your attention to something that's going to be happening on February 14th at Epiphany. There's going to be a big women's conference, put on by WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. If you haven't heard it yet, what we're doing in the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis is we're not inventing things. We're joining with some powerful ministries. And Kelly Walquist has done a great job here in the Twin Cities, started a movement that's going national, Women in the New Evangelization. We're partnering with WINE. And we're going to partner with them. And at Epiphany on the 14th, it's going to be a great women's conference. It's called A Heart Drawn by Love, Sent on Fire. That's a great day, by the way, 14th, Valentine's Day. A Heart Drawn by Love, Sent on Fire. Patty Schneer is the keynote speaker. Nancy Jo Sullivan will be joining her. Special guest, Bishop Andrew Cousins, and you get to go to confession. There's going to be prayer teams. Mass will be celebrated by Bishop Cousins. And for you ladies, yes, there will be lunch and shopping available right there at Epiphany. Maybe you've gone to Epiphany for years, but you've never gone shopping. You're going to now. So ignite your spirit. Join the women from around the Archdiocese on February 14th. If you want more information, you can go to the website www.archspm.org. The keyword is WINE. I'll give you the phone number too if you want to give them a call. For more information, it's 651 291 4411. And by the way, Father Dufnerd, who's joining me right now, thank you for hosting the women's, it's going to be the first women's conference.
Glad to be there. Glad to have it at Epiphany.
And we've got a big men's conference coming up on March 21st, and that's going to be at St. Thomas, and that will be in the Anderson Fieldhouse. If you just joined us, we're talking about change for 2015 and how do you bring about change. And using the scriptures as an example, we've talked about Hosea the prophet and how he told us that we need to break up our unplowed ground so that that seed for change can take place. And we're going to talk about confession in a moment because that certainly is a large part of breaking up that fallow ground, that unplowed ground in your heart. But we've also been talking about how Judah was restored after Babylonian captivity. Three things took place. They had the wall around the city that Nehemiah built, and that stands for the community, the friends and family, communion of saints. And the word of God was taught. And that stands for what? The love letter that God has given us in our life, and that we're called to read scripture. But the third is the building of the temple, which is liturgy and the sacramental life. We've been talking about that. But now, Father, we're going to turn our attention to kind of one of the big ones, and that is we're going to talk about confession. Can you think of anything that represents more of the atom bomb in our life?
This is really the key for the rebuilding of anything. We have to start all over from the inside, and we have to open our hearts to the Lord, and we have to allow Him to love us, allow Him to forgive us, to wipe away our sins so that we can begin to feel the joy, see the sun shine again, take away the clouds and all of the gloom so that we can see those other things that also inspire us and lift us up and build us up. It's so many ways it starts with a moral conversion. Way down on the inside, you and I have to be rid of those things which are so destructive to us, all of those sins, and not just individual sins, but the bondage of a whole cluster of sins that seems to hold us fast. And what they also do is take away joy, take away hope, take away relationships, and seem to turn us in upon ourselves. Ultimately, sin is joyless, and Christ wants us to have joy.
What's happening in confession as it relates to change in our life? We have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and just give us kind of the bare facts here. Why is confession so important in change?
One of the very keys to this is that we have to open up from the inside and admit what we've done wrong. Otherwise, we don't know that we've actually been heard, understood, accepted by another human being. And this person, now representing Christ, is able to bring forgiveness as well as the human understanding and acceptance. And this is important on a counseling level. It's incredibly important on the spiritual level.
But Father, I have gone back many times for that one particular sin or those sins, and I'm starting to feel ashamed. What would you say to the person that experiences that? They do want to change, but they just struggle. Would you say, stop for a while? Would you say, keep returning?
Keep coming to confession. Christ hasn't ceased to love. He still invites. We're the ones who give up on Him. He never gives up on us.
And you know, I heard a priest say one time, I thought it was beautiful, a person came in and they wanted to go to confession. They said, I've been here so many times for this. I've wanted to change this aspect of my life. Jesus, give me one more chance. And the priest, speaking for Jesus, said, give me one more chance.
That's true. It's power.
Yeah.
When you walk out of confession, absolved of your sins, you are a light, and you have a bounce in your stride because you have been loved, forgiven. A burden was lifted.
Folks, if you want to see change in 2015, I would suggest go to confession to begin with. Go to confession and be specific. And for Father, for those that can't remember how to go and they're uncomfortable, what's your suggestion?
Oh, and now we have these wonderful little examinations that help us even with how to go. But it's just so simple. Even the old form is fine. The sign of the cross. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 25 years since my last confession. Start over again right from there. These are my sins. And we lay them all out, everything that we've done, right down to the bottom, scoured all the way down. Even the things we wish weren't wrong, we set them before the Lord. You'd be amazed the power that's there.
So if they don't know exactly what to do and they go to confession, most priests that they're going to run into are going to be very happy and very inviting and friendly and say, I'll help you through this, right?
Delighted to assist.
And if the priest says, what's your act of contrition? And they don't even know what it means, they the priest can walk them through that,
too. We'll walk them through that, too. Oftentimes, we'll just hand them that. Sometimes we even, in our confessionals, we have it up on the screen so they can pray that prayer that's in front of them. But the simplest and one of the shortest is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Oh, beautiful. Father, it's so good to talk to you. I mean, I can tell you and I could go on for hours talking about this stuff. But perhaps we'll have you back. We'll talk more. It's been just such a delight. Friends, if, you know, 2015 is going to be a year of change for you, it is going to require you to make some changes up in front. And that is, you know, you need to go to confession. You need to be honest with the Lord of where you're at, how your sin is affecting other people. You need to avail yourself of the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist and confession. You need the community. You need the Word of God. I just want to encourage you today, do not give up. Don't make your resolutions a January resolution. May it be a lifetime resolution, an eternal resolution to become like Christ. That's really the goal in life, is to become like Jesus, or as Father said, to be divinized, to become like Him. He chose you to become like Him, but you cannot become like Him separate from Him. So 2015, it's a big year of relationship. And I want to hear from you and the changes that are taking place in your life. God bless you in 2015. Have a great day.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.